All right. God bless you all in Jesus' name. There's power in that name, and I know it's more than just saying it, but I'm really provoked. When we were down in Pennsylvania, we got together with Raymond and Naomi Burkholder, and as soon as you talk to him, always, like, that's one of the things that he says a lot. In Jesus' name, right? I greet you in Jesus' name. Or if you'd ask him something, yes, brother, in Jesus' name. Like, he would often say that. And so I greet you in Jesus' name this morning, brothers and sisters. Do it without the raspy voice. But yeah, it's good to be here and praise the Lord and sing his praises. And I greet you as friends. That's one of the things I was looking at a little bit this week in the scriptures, and in 1 John there's a greet the friends each by name. So I greet you, Brother Jake and Sister Eva, Friend Will and Friend Anna. I greet you as friends. We're friends. There's something about that that's not, it's not just, we're not just acquaintances as God's people. God saved us into a friendship, and it goes even further than that. Not just that we're friends because God is our friend too. And we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And God, I was reading that in, I think it was in John 15 there. He said, I call you friends. I no longer call you servants. I mean, that's a privilege. I mean, just to be a servant of the Lord, a slave to God, that's a privilege. But friends, that's beyond, like, that's incomprehensible. Like, there's no religion that can touch that in any way, shape, or form. You just think of any kind of Buddhism or Hinduism, well, there's, you know, multi-gods there, but even in a singular god like Muslim, Islam, or religions like that, it just, there's nothing of that. There's nothing of this friendship with God, a relationship with God, that God really loves us in such a way that he wants to be our friend is unheard of, almost blasphemy. But to us, it's a treasure. That God, the God of heaven, he's your friend. Isn't that exciting? He said, I call you friends. Jesus said, everything the Father has revealed to me, I make it known to you. Here it is. All the will of God, Jesus just makes it known to you. Here it is. He shares all his heart with you because you're his friends. Through the blood, through the cross, and that's exciting. So we're friends this morning, amen? I was just blessed by some of those songs and the resurrection, just thinking of this time that Christianity is celebrating right now, Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. And that's really exciting. One of the things that I think about when I think of the resurrection is I would love to see the expressions on the soldiers' faces when the angel rolled the stone away and when Jesus came out of that grave. And when the news first got to the Pharisees, because they thought, this is it. I can't imagine, they heard him say it. That's why they made sure the tomb was sealed, secured. He's not rising from the dead. His disciples are not going to steal his body and make it even look like he rose from the dead. But I could just imagine when those soldiers came with their tails between their legs telling the Pharisees, it really happened. And telling that story, you know, sometimes we like, there's a lot of times in the scriptures where I would have loved to see expressions on their face. We were watching a little video yesterday of this one guy, and you just look for expressions in the crowd when funny things happen. But there's a lot of those in the Bible too, like when David would have sunk that stone into Goliath's head, right? And Goliath goes down. Because there's this whole army, right? Like, it would have been great to have a zoom there. A nice camera lens there. Just zoom in on the Philistines' faces there when he goes down, right? Their eyes would have got big as two fried eggs, right? That's how they say it. And different times like that when God just showed up and rolled up his sleeves. That would have been neat to see the expressions on the people's faces. Triumph and victory. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that was the ultimate triumph and the ultimate victory. And they fell back as dead men. And he's alive. Our God is alive. He is risen from the dead. And he's alive forevermore. Seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is alive. And he is powerful. And the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And that's also, to me, just mind-blowing. But that's exciting. All the grace of God, all the power of God is available for all these things that we're praying about. Wanting to be more like Jesus and not being lukewarm and loving God with all of our hearts and for raising our families in the fear of God, different things that I heard here, all the grace of God is available for us. And let's avail ourselves of that, all of that. Ladies' bathrooms are just down the hall on the right. Men's bathrooms are in the back corner. Any announcements that need to be made? I guess it would be probably brothers meeting Tuesday, no? Your shop's available? Okay, so brothers meeting is going to be Tuesday night at 7 at Pete Dreger's shop.
Upstairs. I don't know who was the first one here. Did y'all see that? Peter, you were there. You see, you talked all of you.
Yeah, I was there when we got
So, didn't happen on Tuesday? Any of ours did that? Yeah. That looks horrible.
Okay. I asked them, it wasn't us.
So maybe it'd be good to ask your children, because I'm assuming, we would have seen it, right? Whoever was the last one to leave Tuesday, if it wasn't there then obviously
I didn't see it. I think I was up to the last room of lights and it wasn't there.
I don't think we did it, but maybe we could have a few volunteers right after meeting just to get some rags and go and wash that off, even if we didn't do it. Just chalk all over that room that we usually meet in, that wall where the dartboards are is like chalk and chalkboard brush marks, like all over the lots, all over the wall. Somebody had a lot of fun. Okay. Okay. Good to know. So we'll just clean that up after and
we'll get the youth to do it actually.
Yeah, we'll get the youth. I miss the young people already. It was a big hit losing that many young people. And at your place, right? Saturday at Henry and Marikis for the Golden Ministry. Friday night, youth.
Probably at our place.
We'll be at the Dreger's, most likely. Anything else? All right, turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. Brother Henry Clausen, elder from Salem, is going to be preaching this morning, but I just thought I would read John chapter 15 before he does. I didn't really know what to share. I've been really blessed in the scriptures, just reading in the scriptures and reading in Genesis and reading in Job and reading in Mark and reading in Romans, and been really blessed in the scriptures, but there's nothing really that just stood out to me or that might be something that the church needs to hear. So this morning I was just reading in John chapter 15. I was really blessed by that, so I just thought I would read through John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And that's a sobering, it's a sobering scripture there. It's exciting that Jesus is the true vine. It's sobering that every branch in him. And I think that all of us would say that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we are in him. We are in Christ. And he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And I've got that highlighted in orange in my Bible, because orange in my Bible is warnings, admonitions or warnings, rebukes, things like that. And so I think it's important that when we come across a scripture like that, like Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room there, like, one of you is going to betray me. And they're like, they didn't say no. No, we're not. They were alarmed by that. One of you is going to betray me. And the disciples were like, is it I, Lord? Is it me? They wanted to know, like, am I going to betray you? Lord, I don't want to be the betrayer of the Christ. And so I think it's good for us to stop when we come across a scripture that speaks that strongly to us. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What does that mean, he taketh away? Where is he taking it away to? I don't want to be taken away from the Lord. Lord, am I bearing fruit? Lord, are you getting fruit out of my life? And it is good for us to ask, to examine our lives and to ask that question. Lord, am I being fruitful? Am I bringing forth fruit as a child of God? You've saved me, or we are ordained for this very thing, the scripture says. Now, I can't remember if that verse was in this chapter or not, but I was reading that somewhere this morning too. Maybe it's later on in this chapter. I can't remember, but I thought, but it says that we were ordained to bring forth fruit. And we have ordinations, right? We just recently had an ordination for a deacon. Imagine we should have ordinations for bringing forth fruit, right? God has ordained us for that very thing. So we should have a laying on of the hands for all of us here who are saved, and an ordination, a fruit-bearing ordination. And, you know, like when an elder or a deacon is ordained and they're given a charge, another elder will rise up and give them a charge. It's a sober thing. It's a serious thing. I charge you to be faithful over the household of God, over the church of Jesus Christ, to be faithful in these things that the Lord has called you to do and to minister to the church. And it's a real, you really take that to heart, right? And here it says also that we've been ordained to bring forth fruit. This is our ordination. We're charged with this very thing because it's glorifying to God. And it's, wow, yeah. Am I bringing forth fruit? Is my life fruitful? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So that's a real blessing that God, even when we bring forth fruit, then God purges us. And I think maybe everybody would have a testimony of what that looks like. There might be, it's different than discipline, right? God is not chastening us. He's not disciplining us. That stems out of disobedience and not keeping God's commandments. But then there's like a purging where God brings us through rough waters, through difficult trials, through, it can be in the Christian life where he's purging us, stripping us of pride, of self-confidence, maybe of anything like that, because God wants us to be in such a place, in such a relationship with him, that we would bring forth even more fruit. You're bringing forth fruit. Let's get even more. God wants a lot of fruit from us as a congregation. And so he purges us. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And it's good for us to really remember that, that without God, we can do nothing. We can't bear fruit. We can do good works, maybe without him, arguably. We can, you can be religious. You can, but except that we really abide in him, except that we linger in his presence, except that we know God intimately and are abiding in him by faith, we cannot, because the scripture tells us to be fruitful in every good work. It just doesn't want us just to do good works, that we're fruitful in those good works. You can do good works and not be fruitful in every good work. And so God wants us to be fruitful in our good works. He wants us to bring forth fruit. And we cannot do that because Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and we need to abide in him if we're going to bring forth any fruit. And we know that just naturally, right? Any branch that's cut off, any branch that's not abiding, it can't. There's something that happens. There's a severing. There is not a flowing. There, you just cannot bear fruit. And we want to be fruitful Christians. But there's a blessing there. There's a promise there. He does say, for without me you can do nothing. But he also says, he that abideth in me, so if you, Jesus says, if you will abide in me and I in you, if you will allow me to have this kind of a relationship with you, he says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. How many of you want to bring forth much fruit for Jesus? For all that he's done for us, it's the least that we could do is just to be very fruitful for him, right? And he said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will. You're going to bring forth, you will be a very fruitful child of mine. You'll be a very fruitful Christian. And yeah, I think we long for that. And here's the key. Here's the answer. Here's what he tells us to do. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And I don't know what you do with that exactly if you believe in eternal security. I don't know that I've ever looked up at. I'm sure they've got answers for that. But there's something very sobering. And regardless of where we come on that theology, there ought to be something very sobering about this for us as a Christian. That every branch that doesn't bring forth fruit, it's cast forth. If a man abide not in Christ, he's cast forth, he's withered, and then he's gathered and cast into the fire and burned. There's a judgment there that I think that none of us want on our lives. It's that same idea, right, that Will was bringing up, that lukewarm, right? If you're not hot or you're not cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, who of us wants to be spewed out of Jesus' mouth? Spit away from him. And so it's like, Lord, keep me from that. Let's be careful not to be lukewarm, not to be unfruitful, not found not abiding in him. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And I really appreciate that too. Another promise. The New Testament is just full of these promises. Blessings on the righteous and cursings on the disobedient, right? And warnings for the disobedient. But if we could live in this light, you know, of all the blessings and promises of God, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And I think that all of us would say, yeah, to have a walk with God and to have a prayer life, I find myself often far from that or questioning that, like that many, many prayers are not answered. And the scripture tells us why. Like, God is not hard to figure out in that sense. His ways are above our ways. But God has revealed all. He's our friend. He has called us friends. He's revealed all things to us. He's revealed his will to us. And here he says, if you're going to abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask whatever you want. It'll be done unto you. What is your request? What is your desire? I'll give it to you. And if that's not somewhat of a reality in our lives, we do good to examine our hearts and ask the questions here. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we bringing forth much fruit? He's glorified. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And to me, that was just such an encouraging verse too. As my Father has loved me, just this is Jesus speaking here. My Bible is not a red letter edition here, but in some of yours, it's probably in red because Jesus is saying this. And to the same degree, he says, as the Father hath loved me. Jesus is saying this here. In the same way that my Father loves me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And that, I guess you would have to look into that a lot and see what is the love of the, but the love of the Father for Jesus is perfect. And in that, as the Father loves the Son, in the same way that the Father loves the Son, so I have loved you. That's exciting that Jesus loves us like that. And he proved, and we know he proved it. He commended his love toward us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we know when Jesus says that, we know it's true. He has proven that to us. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And there's part of some light on that whole abiding, I think, too, right? Part of abiding is obedience. And James says that, tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. When we are just hearers of the word, and I think that that's one of the great dangers or curses, especially in a country where we have so much availability to books, to videos, to sermons and teaching, and like any question you have. And I love to do that too when I'm going through the Bible and there's something I don't understand. I'll look up different YouTube Bible teachers that I like, and there's so much available, so much knowledge, so much truth, so much teaching and Bible teaching, and we can spend so much time in the Word. But if we will become hearers only, familiar with the Word of God, knowledgeable, can argue the Word of God, can lay it out clearly, all of that is good, but that's not what God is after. God wants obedience to the Word of God. Not sacrifice, he wants obedience to his Word. And if we're not obedient to the Word of God, we open ourselves up in some form, in some measure, we open ourselves up to deception, right? And the scary thing about deception is you don't know you're deceived. And so we have an obligation to be careful to obey the Word of God. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken, unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So none of this here, these warnings about abiding in Christ, these warnings about if we're not careful to abide in Christ, we can do nothing. And that if we don't abide in Christ, we'll be like a branch taken out, withered, thrown into the fire and burned. The scripture there that says that God is going to purge us so that we'll bring forth more fruit. The exhortation to obey his commandments. All these things, none of these things should seem like a burden to us, but they should seem to us as, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing that truth to us. Thank you for that instruction. Thank you for that ministering life to us by sharing these things with us, Lord Jesus. Because he says that these things have, what he's just saying is, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So why did Jesus share all those things with us, all those little snippets of wisdom and understanding? Why those truths? So that his joy would be in you, brothers and sisters. And that your joy would be full. If we will take heed just to this little portion of scripture here, and it goes on and on and on. I won't share the rest of the chapter. I was really blessed just reading through it. But if we will take heed to this and live that out by the grace of God, people around us are going to see it. You're going to experience that. Is there a lack of joy in your life? Are you experiencing a lack of joy, a dryness of joy? He said, I've written these things to you for this very purpose. I want my joy to be in you. And I want that joy to be full of joy. And so there's another, if we're not full of joy, it's good for us to consider, come back here, do what the Lord says. And if we do, we're going to be full of joy. We are going to be fruitful. And then God's going to purge us and we're going to bring even more fruit. And we're going to be abiding in him. And abiding in his love. So how many of us don't want to sign up for that? I think that all of us say, yeah, that's what I want. That's the kind of Christian life I want. And when we do that, it glorifies God. So just a few verses there out of John 15, but I was really blessed. I was really encouraged by that. Thought I would share that with you.